episode 18.
It's time to breathe new life into the social entrepreneur by empowering you to make a living through fulfilling work that will impact lives. You'll make money, but more importantly, you'll make a difference. Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast. It's time to build a business with purpose. Now here's your host, Adam Force.
Hey everybody, Adam here. Today I'm really excited to be talking to someone who is a digital marketing guru. The Wall Street Journal calls him a top influencer on the web. Entrepreneur Magazine says he's created one of the 100 most brilliant companies. He was recognized as a top 100 entrepreneur under the age of 30 by President Obama and a top 100 entrepreneur under the age of 35 by the United Nations. He's worked with major companies all the way up to Google and many more, helping them scale their businesses. He definitely knows a thing or two about SEO and driving traffic. So without further ado, I am honored to present Neil Patel. If you don't know Neil Patel and you are in the marketing game, then I have to say you are living a little bit under a rock, but you're going to learn some good stuff here today. And of course, we're going to have a nice feature article with Neil in the magazine. So let's get started. Hey, what's up, Neil? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to chat with you. Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast Show. You are the man behind scaling up and building traffic. So we're excited to dig into that mind and get some secrets from you.
All right.
Hello. So you know, you have quite a background, actually. I was going through, and you've dabbled in a lot of different things. And I guess I'm curious, as you know, when you were starting up your own businesses, you got frustrated with the marketing services that you were trying to leverage in order to get growth for your earlier businesses. And I guess I'm curious, though, what was challenging about it? Obviously, you weren't getting the results, but was there a reason why you weren't getting results? Is anything, any clarity on that?
Yeah, they weren't doing much. They just took my money and didn't do shit.
Really? That's,
yeah, or they did stuff that didn't really help boost my traffic or rankings, and they just sucked. But as a kid, when I was spending all the money paying marketing agencies, because that's when I started out, that's all the money I had. So I was shit in the luck after that. What do you do?
Yeah, that's a problem for sure. I mean, for any startup, it's always keeping a really strict eye on the budget, especially if it's coming out of your own pocket. So you know, how long ago was that when you were doing that?
Oh, that was around 2003.
2003. Okay. So, you know, we're a little more than 10 years ago now. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, I hear and I interview a bunch of people and I talk to guys and I hear the story of, you know, well, you know, when I had to really get my business to the next level, it is about getting certain mentors or getting involved with people who have been there before and done that. And I saw you have a real long list of people who have inspired your success. Some of them being mentors, maybe like, I guess, Jeff Entress and other guys who have supported you in different ways. So as far as the marketing angle, though, you kind of took that into your own hands. And when you got motivated to say, all right, you know, screw this, I'm not spending any more of my money. What was your, I mean, you dove right into SEO. Was that your first thing that you really dove into? Or did you look at other types? Because it seems overwhelming. I mean, you got content marketing, you got all kinds of forms of marketing. So you focused on SEO, or was that a starting point for you or no?
It was a starting point because it was the most affordable marketing channel that I knew of.
The most affordable. Okay. And how did you start, I guess, exploring that and really getting the in-depth insights that you have? And there's some interesting stuff. Like I listened to some of your webcasts, your webinars and stuff like that. And you just, even in the webinar, you give tremendous value. So you really have, you know, educated yourself quite a bit. So how did you start diving into that stuff?
Yeah, the way I started diving into that stuff is just learning. And as you are learning, I was like, wait, I got screwed over. People didn't help me out. Paying these agencies didn't really help me out. And there's a lot of people who gave me free advice. I was like, there's probably a ton of companies or people out there who want to figure out how to get more traffic to the site and don't have a lot of money to spend. So I was just like, let me just educate and help them out for free.
Right, right. And, you know, when I think about getting traffic, just focusing on SEO, I mean, there's site speed, backlinks, like all kinds of analysis to do. I guess my point before is like it can be overwhelming. So as a founder or an entrepreneur, is there any place, like, where does someone start? I mean, you offer your course and support to, like you just said, to help people through this stuff. And it's robust. It's very robust. There's a lot of information you're sharing. And, you know, people are real busy and all that kind of stuff. So is there maybe for some of the founders out there a couple key focal points that if you're going to start tackling SEO on your own or understanding how to get traffic, here's a couple key areas that you really need to dive into as a priority?
Yeah. So if you're trying to get started in SEO, the big thing is what kind of value can you provide that people love? See, search engines like Google look at like user metrics. Are people on your site long? Are they bouncing off, etc.? Think of it this way. If you do a Google search, you click on a result, within a few seconds you click the back button, Google can see that because they have like own browser, they have analytics, and they can see that, hey, this person clicked through and they came back on our own Google site within a few seconds. That means they probably didn't find what they're looking for. Mm. And if people keep doing that, your rankings are going to drop. They're not going to go up. That's why I say people need to focus on user experience, because not enough people are actually doing that.
And when you say that, that's because you're saying you have to make sure you're getting people what they need so that they're not just bouncing off the site. So when people look at their analytics, they're going to see their bounce rates real high, right?
Exactly. The other thing they need to focus on is building links. SEO and marketing rankings is kind of like the presidential election. One person's going to win based on votes. The one who gets the most votes wins. Now, not all votes are equal. If President Obama says vote for X candidate, that's way more effective than if Neil Patel says vote for X candidate, right? Because the president, he has more authority.
Sure.
Same with websites. If you can get a big popular website like Huffington Post or Fox News or New York Times to link to you over neilpatel.com, you're going to rank way better. So it's not just its authority, and it's also relevancy too. President Obama is telling everyone to vote for another presidential candidate is very relevant. They're like, oh, he's a president. He knows what he's doing. It's in the same field. I'm a marketer. If I tell you to vote for someone, it's not as effective.
Mm-hmm.
They look for relevancy and authority. And the way you get these links is simple. You go to like tools like ahrefs.com. You put in competitor URLs. It shows you who links to them. You click on those websites and you do outreach and you just be like, hey, Adam, I noticed that you're linking to xyz.com. Have you seen our website? We offer all these things that the other site doesn't offer. I think it'll benefit your users. Feel free to check it out. And you know what? If you like it, feel free to link to it. Cheers. Oh, P.S. If you do add the link, it won't just make my year. It'll make my decade.
I like that. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And does it matter, let's say you mentioned Huffington Post, if they have one link for backlink towards your site or if they have 10, is it more the better?
From each site, no. So if you get 10 links from Huffington Post, it's not that effective. But the more links you get in total, yes, the more effective it is.
More links in total, meaning from different websites?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. And, you know, you mentioned Ahrefs as a site, and I used to use that site, and they used to have a free offer right now, and I guess now they give awesome information. I looked at it recently, actually, because of the webinar I sat in that you gave, and it starts off at about $100 a month, and so I guess it sounds like from your recommendation, though, that if you're serious about this stuff, that it's worth the money.
Yes, but they also do have a free version.
They do still? Maybe they're just really covering that up. I didn't see that, but okay, that's good to know if they are.
They cover it up.
I thought so. I was looking for it, and I couldn't even find it. Okay, well, that's interesting. Great. So I guess, you know, when you are giving a webinar, you talked about a bunch of different tools basically that people can use. And if you are prioritizing the things that you mentioned, one of them being outreach and getting backlinks, you mentioned Ahrefs. Are there any other tools that might be valuable to people? I came across one, I think you mentioned SimilarWeb, and there's some others too, to get an idea of competitive comparisons so you can really see who's getting linked where and stuff like that.
You're saying like SimilarWeb, Alexa's one, SEMrush is another one.
Oh, right. Yep, that's a good one.
I would say those three tools help.
And so how many, I guess when you started ramping up your businesses and discovering these tools and figuring out your formula, I guess how much time a day were you putting in to manage this part of the process of your business versus, you know, the web design and, you know, a marketing, a particular, you know, content marketing strategy and those other pieces of business versus focusing on, you know, getting backlinks and focusing on the SEO and all these types of things. So I guess, how are you organizing your attention to this stuff?
Yeah, you just do it whenever you have time. It's not like you have to do this day in and day out. So,
yeah, I was curious because, you know, you get, sometimes you feel like, well, I got to do this for the content marketing. Well, I got to do this. I got to build these videos and I got to do, and they can all contribute to traffic to your site. So that's where I started getting into, like, you know, how are you prioritizing certain things? And is it something that you got to spend, you know, 2 hours a day on to see an effective lift? I guess you can put as much time as you want, but, you know, how long would it take if we're following these practices for SEO and getting these backlinks to see real results on your site? You know, and if you're just doing 20 minutes in the morning each morning, I feel like, you know, that might not get you so far. So I just get curious on, you know, what your routine might be. Maybe you were spending several hours a day really focusing on these things and it had a strong payoff because you've obviously been successful.
Yeah, no, there's no specific routine. I just do it whenever. Like, it's funny, I rank number 1 and 2 on Google right now for online marketing. Yeah. I get a people asking me, hey, how do you, how much time do you spend on the keyword and optimizing SEO? I'm like, none really. I've just been, I just do it whenever I have time and I'll spend spurts. Like the last time I tried building links and optimizing for those pages was end of 2015.
Really?
Huh?
Wow. So how do you go about doing a key? So it seems like those are things you don't revisit all the time.
That's correct. Yes.
So now are there certain components that you do have to revisit, like kind of like resharpening the saw on certain things or getting more backlinks? Or it seems like some things you can do the work up front, get it set. Maybe that's your keywords and things like that. But then you can kind of put that aside for a bit. Is there other stuff that has to be ongoing, like monthly or, you know, regular you should pay attention to?
It's more so just like the content. You got to update it.
Yeah.
You don't really have to do much more than that.
And they have some pretty cool programs now, too. When you put your content in, it kind of tells you to make sure you have certain, you know, text, the alt text for your image, or having the words in your title and meta description and all that kind of stuff. And those all play a pretty big role in SEO, right?
Yes.
I guess now, so is there a specific tool that maybe you use for your website and the content that you're publishing to help organize that, or how do you manage that?
I don't really use any tools. I just use WordPress, but I'm not using a ton of tools. Some people do. I also have a team that helps me out. Like, I have an assistant, I have an editor.
Yeah.
So it all helps.
Yeah, I started using one of these tools and I realized that there's kind of a lot, there's a good number of steps and things to be aware of for each article that you post. And so that's why I asked that. Yoast SEO is the one that I was using, and it kind of takes an analysis and goes through everything. And I realized, wow, I there's a lot of pieces I'm missing.
Yeah, Yoast is a great tool. But the thing with me is I just write. I don't really like use any tools. I don't really worry too much about SEO or any of that when I write.
And then, okay, so then you pass it off to someone that optimizes it?
No one really optimizes it.
So you're not putting a major focus then on SEO for your articles and stuff?
No, we don't really put any focus on SEO for the articles.
Why is that?
Because if you write really good enough content, people share it, they link to it, and you naturally get traffic. I found that when you just write content and you put a lot of SEO focus on it, for me, at least, I haven't figured out the right balance, and it doesn't do as well in the social web and naturally with the audience comments. So it's just trying to find the right balance.
Yeah.
And still optimize it and still do well in the social web and everything. It's not like it's one or the other. But if you can build enough links and have amazing content, you just rank over time because your user metrics are also amazing too.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a good point. I remember a couple of years ago, I did a lot of investigating into BuzzFeed because they were saying that they don't even focus on SEO and rankings and anything. And their whole focus and mission was really just virality. And if you, to your point, you make content that people will share, it gets it out there just as much, and you don't have to focus on SEO. So similar to your what you just said, you know, just make good content and it'll get passed around.
That's right.
I like that. That is cool. So I guess, you know, you started investing in some companies, and I'm just curious, as you did that, was that what were your motivations to invest in other companies? Was there a strategy behind it?
No, just if I see potential, why not throw money at it?
Well, you know, like I know some organizations at early phases, they would, you know, do acquisition strategies where, you know, they might get involved with another company that would get more traffic to their site. So it's to get that traffic and stuff like that. So I was just curious. So you're just dabbling in different things and just testing the waters here and there.
Yeah, exactly. Just testing the waters, seeing what happens and going from there. So it's like, for me, I look at everything in marketing as like an experiment, right? You do something, you see what happens. If it works, you do more of it. If it doesn't, you don't do as much of it. But if you're trying to grow your traffic and your business and do well, you have to think about an experience. Not everything will work. It's like spaghetti. You throw it against the wall.
The spaghetti theory, yeah. Okay. So I guess what right now is working well for you for getting traffic to your current sites? I see you have multiple sites, multiple businesses. Are they all following a similar model or strategy? I guess I'm curious to know like what your top strategies are right now for driving traffic to your sites.
I do a lot of social outreach. So I will go and I will go and do things like see who shared competitor articles on Twitter, because you can go to search.twitter.com, put in a competitor URL. Mm-hmm. I try to go find each of those people's email address by just surfing the web, and I'll email them and being like, hey, Adam, I noticed that you shared XYZ posts by author A, B, and C. I just want to let you know I have a similar post coming out. Mine covers 30 more ways to boost your traffic or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to check it out, it comes out next week. And they'll be like, yeah, sure. And then I send them the article and I'm like, feel free to share it if you like it.
Right, right. And that obviously is a backlink effort as well, right?
That's correct.
I guess that's similar too. If you do a Google search for a topic, you talked about Twitter, but if I go to Google and I do a search, and I see what Google is currently ranking, meaning it's obviously telling me that it has a lot of backlinks to the articles that are on the top. And you look at what those articles are, and you create an article that's more in-depth and elaborates on that topic in more detail or whatever, and then you reach out and you do a similar strategy. Is that something that makes sense, same sense?
Yes.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you can figure out who's doing stuff with your competitors, who's not, you know, and you just keep analyzing and looking at the data, eventually you'll figure out how you can grow faster, right? I believe everything is data driven in marketing, and you have to look at it from a quantitative and qualitative perspective. Quantitative being numbers, qualitative being like surveys, reviews, and information like that.
Right, right. Interesting. And so you said you were doing social outreach, and when you're doing that, are you, what are your primary platforms that you're focused on? You mentioned Twitter. Do you do anything with Facebook as well?
Yes, I do stuff a lot with Facebook. For Facebook, I actually just buy a lot of fans through Facebook advertising. Mm-hmm. I was doing way more of that a few months ago, but then Facebook adjusted their algorithm so you don't get as much reach. Now it sucks, so I stopped spending money on Facebook. It worked.
It's a pretty powerful marketing tool, I've noticed, and so that's why I was curious to see if it was a traffic source for you, but that was more of a marketing tool and an audience development tool versus actual traffic to sites.
Can you repeat the question again?
I said that the Facebook approach that you had was more about audience development versus driving traffic to your sites.
Yes. Well, the beautiful part about Facebook compared to any of the other social networks like Instagram or Snapchat, you can also, like you mentioned, you can drive traffic to your site. So now I'm doing all the Facebook stuff to drive traffic to my site versus building up my fan pages.
Okay, so you are using Facebook to drive traffic. I mean, are you, because they did reduce the reach based on the algorithm. Obviously, they have so many people on the site now. But you're still finding it beneficial, meaning you're getting enough reach to make the traffic worthwhile.
Yep.
Is there any type of formula or tips that you're using for your marketing to make it, I guess, work in the sense where it's, I guess, financially valuable? So I guess if you're driving people, then are you going to a specific landing page, which is then trying to create a whole funnel process for your products?
Yeah, we send them to a landing page or a webinar. We get them to opt in, and then we send them through a whole sequence and get them to convert from there.
Right. And so I, you know, Facebook can sometimes be tricky from the onset. And what have you found, I guess, that is when you're driving traffic using a Facebook ad, you can get people's attention, you know, with the ad, but then they land on the page. Is there been any, I guess, let's call it lead generation tips for people to say, you know, because I feel like a lot of people struggle with that process on Facebook where they may not be getting the clicks they're looking for. Then they can figure out to get the copy and the ad right, and they get the clicks, but then there's a disconnect once they get to the landing page. So have you found anything that is helping that process for higher conversions, like having the same text on your Facebook ad and the landing page or anything like that? Any tips on the conversions?
There is no one simple tip. Like, yeah, sure, exit pop-ups, exit intents do help with conversions, but it really comes down to how can you look at the quantitative and qualitative data, see what objections users have, and then solve those objections within your pages. That's what improves conversions more than anything else.
Right. So really getting into, to understand the behaviors of people and the psychographics. Is that at the same saying the same thing?
Yes.
And I guess what do you do on your end to discover those things? What kind of research and tools are you using to better understand? I feel like that is the root of it all, is understanding the audience. If you don't have that down pat, you're going nowhere fast. So I guess what has been your approach to making sure you're reaching the right people and you understand those in-depth psychographics?
Well, you just survey your current audience, right? And if you don't have any traffic, then you go find your ideal customers and you survey them in person. But you can use like a Qualaroo survey on your landing page to see what issues you have and then go from there.
Right. So if someone doesn't have a large audience, you're saying that you can do a campaign to drive traffic, which would lead them to do a survey of some sort. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And then, I hear more and more people say that it is powerful to do in-person surveys. Do you feel like that's probably the best approach you can take?
I do online because you can do it in more quantity, but mm-hmm. either one works.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess a question for you then too is, you know, as you got younger brands, like you're established, so you have a larger audience and, you know, you've got a number of businesses and people to get insights from. For the entrepreneur that's just starting out, do you think that, you know, if you're reaching out and you're doing some kind of survey campaign, that there has to be some incentive, like we'll give you like either financial or some free offer, like something to incentivize the survey, or people have been
no. willing? If you incentivize, then it's biased. So we don't try to incentivize. We just ask for opinions.
Gotcha. And people respond.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. That's interesting. I feel like, you know, that's been a challenge for a lot of people that I talk to, is really just getting to understand the audience, because people put a lot of money into the Facebook marketing and stuff like that, and there's a big disconnect in their results. So I guess there's a number of variables there to consider. So one of the questions I guess I wanted to circle back around to was, as I mentioned, I went through your webinar, and whether it's the webinar or your other websites that you have, they're really well put together. You can see your, and I don't know if it's you putting your eye on it with an attention to detail, or if you have someone on your team who is, but the experience is really well thought out. The designs are really good. And it's really head to toe, especially the webinar experience. I thought you put it together really well. So I guess, do you have a certain philosophy on your approach to your website development, your webinar, and just, you talk a lot about the user experience. So I guess, what is your thoughts on your branding and things like that and how you're approaching people?
Well, for me, I'm just really picky. So I pay attention to every little thing. That's the only reason that works out well.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a difference. It's very professional, and you can tell that you put a lot of attention to the detail for sure. So I think you do a great job there. You set a good standard for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so before I jump into you, you have an exciting book coming out. I just want to see if there's any gaps here I'm missing. Any other tips you can share? You know, people are trying to get they got 0 to 1,000 people on their site. They don't know SEO very well. Do you recommend that they just start learning that stuff themselves? I think you're going to say yes, or that there are people they should align to that have been there, done that. It'll speed up the process. Where should they put their energy there?
Learn it yourself. Go to blogs like mine, like neilpatel.com/blog. You'll get a ton of free information and advice. Like, why pay for it?
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if you're starting out, you're a big company, you make millions of dollars, go pay for it. Don't waste your
Yeah. Okay. So you have this book, it caught my attention. It's called Hustle, the Power to Charge Your Life with Money, Meaning, and Momentum. And I saw the word meaning, it really caught my attention. And this is not out yet, coming out in September. So can you just tell us a little bit about that book and, you know, how you got involved with it and why you're writing it and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. Think of it this way. Right now, a lot of people feel it's hard to succeed in life. And it is. Everyone feels that either you need to be rich or you have to have a lot of connections. And the reality of this world is the ones who are rich or don't have the most connections, sure, there's things that are going against you, but it doesn't mean you can't succeed. Look at me. Look at a lot of people out there, right? Like the Mark Zuckerberg, the Google founders, whatever it may be. There's a ton of people who have succeeded with the odds against them. The book helps you succeed in life, right? And it's not just succeeding in your own business. It could be career. It can also help you even find what you love in life. What we found out is a lot of people are like, okay, I want to succeed. I want to make money. I want to grow. And they're stuck. They're like, oh, what should I do? Well, people believe that when you're born and you're a little kid, you're just like, oh, I want to be a doctor. And that's what it is going to be. But as you grow up, you'll learn that, hey, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a firefighter. Right. We help you find your passion in life. And it's actually through trial and error. When you try things out, you'll learn what's not for you. And eventually you figure out what is right for you, right? Mm-hmm. We go over a lot of concepts like that. We even have concepts like renting your dreams versus owning your dreams. And we talk about, you know, you don't want to just be helping other people achieve their dreams. A lot of times when you're working 9 to 5, and we're not saying quit your job, but when you're working 9 to 5, a lot of times you're helping your boss achieve his goals and dreams. We want to teach you how you can achieve your goals and your dreams and not just you helping other people achieve theirs.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I like how you're defining success. I think it was written on your website too, is, you know, it's not, as much as we need money to sustain ourselves, there is, I guess, a certain level of happiness that will be lost if you're not doing something that you actually care about and you're excited to wake up for each morning. So it sounds like what I love about this book is that it's really driving people to, change the way they think or help them understand how they can actually get on the right path towards something that's actually meaningful to them. And that's, you know, obviously what we're all about with what we're doing. And, yeah, so I'm excited to check it out when it comes out.
Awesome.
So, Neil, we're coming up to the end of our time here, and I appreciate the tips and insights and jumping on the line. So I just want to give you a chance for anything that you have going on. You know, we talked about the book, but your sites, webinars, just to give a shout out and let people know how they can reach you, how they can get some of your awesome stuff to help start building their traffic and move their businesses forward.
Yeah, sure. NeilPatel.com. Just check it out.
Well, that's very simple. Great. So, Neil, again, thank you very much. You know where we're at. You ever have questions, and just reach out anytime.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Take care, man.
That's all for this episode. Your next step is to join the Change Creator Revolution by downloading our interactive digital magazine app for premium content, exclusive interviews, and more ways to stay on top of your game. Available now on iTunes and Google Play, or visit changecreatormag.com. We'll see you next time, where money and meaning intersect, right here at the Change Creator Podcast.